Welcome to Sons of Thunder, formerly known as Thunder and Theology, but we have a rebrand, a reset, you could say.
Right.
We
took
the cartridge out of the N64, found Tony Hawk Pro Skater, put it in, see if it worked.
You played Tony Hawk on N64?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you mean? You a PlayStation guy or something?
I thought it only was out for PlayStation.
No.
I don't remember it being a Nintendo game.
On PlayStation, if you fell, there was blood. N64 was clean. But, yeah, we're hitting the reset button, but we have a new...
It makes sense, right? It's a good time. Like,
right.
The Thunder, clearly, they're hitting the reset button.
Yes.
It's a new day for the Thunder. It's a new day for the pod. Sons of Thunder.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't like the name... Send us in your name recommendations on Twitter.
That's right.
And we will probably not accept them, but we appreciate the thought.
Or if you want us to change back to Thunder and Theology. Well, I think we're pretty much open for anything, but for now we're sticking with Sons of Thunder. And today, with me, I'm Landry Franks, and to my right is...
TJ Yates. Shalom. Thanks for introducing me.
Of course. And to my left...
Michael McAfee.
Grace and Peace. Grace and Peace. That's right. It's what your email says. We're excited to talk Thunder basketball, guys. Michael just informed us that it's been almost exactly a year since our last pod, and that's, I think, not acceptable. For all of our thousands of fans, we've got to be better. So we're excited about this new reset. But last night, the Thunder lost to the Utah Jazz. I believe the score was 100-95. A hard-fought game. You guys, any initial thoughts, TJ, on the game? Michael?
So, I thought the game last night was a perfect loss. I was really pleased with it.
That sounds like an oxymoron.
So, here's the thing. This season is different, and maybe next season, because we actually want to lose, so we increase our odds of having a better draft pick. So, we increase our odds of having the next superstar on our team. So, losing games is good, but you don't want to just, like... have the floor wiped with you night after night. You want to see flashes, especially from the young guys, that they can ball. And I felt like we got that last night. We hung in with a tough Jazz team that I think is going to be pretty good right up till the end. I felt like it was a great learning and growing experience for the team.
Overall, I thought it was a good game. I think the Jazz are probably a top three team in the West. I think that they're a real contender for the title. And we were leading in the fourth quarter, which was great. It wasn't a shocker that the Thunder gave up a fourth quarter lead when their coach is Billy Donovan. But for another day.
Hey, just let the record show that. It only took about, I don't know, 5 minutes. No, 3 minutes for TJ to hate on Billy Donovan.
When you look at the Jazz's roster, they should have murdered us, you know.
It's true.
They've got a great roster.
Yeah.
And while our starting five is pretty solid, our bench is awful.
Hammy played all right, though.
Yeah, I love Hammy, dude. He's the best. I will agree with Michael. If you believe in moral victories, last night was definitely one. I really struggle because I want to win. Mm. And so I was definitely frustrated that we weren't able to pull it out.
Yeah.
But I was also glad that we didn't get beat by 30.
That's true. You know, I felt the same tension. In fact, there was a point last night where... it was tied. Donovan Mitchell made like a driving layup, and then Bogdanovich, we didn't rotate over, and he hit a three to go up by five. And I remember I got as mad as I got last year when we were playing crappy teams, and this would happen over and over again. And then I had to stop and be like, yeah, but we kind of suck. I'm like, it's okay. Like,
yeah,
I had to be like, it's okay that basically this rookie who's 19 didn't rotate over on Bogdanovich, you know?
Yeah. It's like the pressure's off this year.
Right.
We know we're not playing. Not only are we not playing to contend, we're not playing to convince star players to re-sign. Like, the only thing we're trying to do...
You should actually be doing the opposite.
Yeah,
getting them to get out of there.
Yeah, and that's another way that it was a perfect loss, is for Chris Paul and Danilo Gallinari, the two guys that are most likely to get traded, both played really well. And
yeah.
Only helped to increase their trade value last night.
So let's start with them. CP3, 4-3. He made lots of threes last night. And Gallo, I agree with Michael. I thought they played well. CP3 still does stuff that drives me up a wall. Like
what?
Like at the end of the game. So it's like a close game, and he's trying to draw foul Mike Conley, who shot 1 of 16. Oh.
Yeah, and he's getting paid $40 million.
Oh my gosh, Mike Conley.
Make you feel better about CP3's contract.
It's bad when you shoot the closing out free throws and you make one of them, and then you try to get the crowd pumped because you made a free throw. That was your third point of the game. He played like 35 minutes last night.
Yeah, he was poo-poo.
Oh, man. He played, I mean, offensively, he played terrible. But
they've never missed Rubio so bad.
Dude, the Suns, didn't they win last night?
I don't know.
Just Rick Rubio, you know? Okay. At the end of the game, he's like trying to get Mike Conley to bite on a foul. And he's just like flopping around, doing CP3 stuff that used to just drive me nuts as a Thunder fan when we played him. So it's hard for me to watch that. But he played pretty well. And you forget, like, I think I forget how good he is.
I thought he was great. I was telling Michael earlier, the Morning Animals made a comment that worried me a little bit. You know, last night I thought CP3 played well. He shot the ball well. And he didn't overtake the game. He really let SGA run the floor, mm-hmm. which I thought was great. But then it made me think, him and Presti have probably had a conversation where Presti has asked CP3 to groom young Shea. And once he does that at the trade deadline, Presti's assured him that he's going to trade him. So that's my mentality. And that's fine if that's what was going to happen. But if CP3 can do what he did last night up until the trade deadline, it at least will be entertaining.
Well, and even if he didn't make a promise like that, the way for CP3 to get on a contending team is to play well enough that a contending team wants to trade for him at the deadline or before or next year. The efforts are aligned in that if you want out of Oklahoma City, play well and give Shea an opportunity to shine and show that you don't have to be the central point, because he's not going to be the center point of any offense that he would go to, but show you can facilitate and share, and then a contender will trade for you, maybe Miami.
Yeah, definitely. I would
think. And give us a quality player in return.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Deion?
I'd take
Neon Deion.
And
they would, I don't think they would even think twice. They would give us Neon Deion right now.
Yeah.
They just hand him over. But
I'd take Drogic, but I'd rather have that young.
Drogic, right?
Yeah, whatever.
The Dragon. I like Drogic. That's better. His new name's Drogic. I thought Gallo played pretty well. I forgot how terrible he was on defense. The dude is so great coming off the screens, but he might have the slowest feet in the NBA.
But the dude shot 40% from three.
He played great.
He scored. And that was another thing. Like, if you just look at the field goal attempts overall, you had Gallinari at 13, Chris Paul at 15, Shea at 23.
25, right?
23 field goal attempts. Oh, sorry. Gotcha. That's how many shots they're putting up. So I loved that they got those shots. And then, at 8 apiece, you had Steven Adams and Hamidou Diallo.
Come on.
We can all celebrate Hamidou. We cannot celebrate Steven Adams.
No, he played terrible.
Dude, you play like that, we just buy you out. We're not even curious. You can't trade him. But you can't have that.
Yeah.
You can't walk in there and play.
Historically,
like that.
Though, when we play Rudy Gobert, he like backs down. And Rudy Gobert is good. But it's like he can't. It's like he's got the yips when we play Rudy Gobert. He doesn't make his hook shots. It just like all kinds of stuff. There was one possession where he had like an open layup. He like got offensive rebound and then just fumbled it. And Billy had to call a timeout. It's just very weird, uncharacteristic, especially in the preseason. He was just destroying people. So as long as we don't have to play the Jazz three more times, which we do, then we'll be fine. So, Steve will be fine.
Well, we better win on Friday because we're probably going to start out 0-4 if we don't.
Oh, man. Golden State, though. No Klay Thompson.
And then the Rockets.
We jumping ahead to our picks? We jumping ahead to prophecy?
Okay. So, last night during the game, we had this conversation that immediately was shut down by Michael and TJ.
Well, our listeners will shut it down.
No, they won't. I think more will agree with me. Although the Jazz uniforms are not the ugliest in the NBA, I mentioned that I thought they didn't look good. And I think Michael called my take garbage.
Horrible.
Was the word I used. That hurt worse than garbage. And TJ just gave it the thumbs down or something. He said something about it.
I did give you the dislike.
So I'm going to I'm gonna say that I'm willing to flex on why the Jazz have, quote, good uniforms.
Okay, and so can we stop for a second, because you're directly quoting the words we're using, and then you said, I said they had not good uniforms. That is not what you said.
What did I say? Horrible,
you said
terrible?
Utah uniforms suck, man. So let's just be clear while we're like pinpointing for accuracy TJ and I's response. You go, I made a comment that they were not good. You didn't say not good. You said they suck, man.
They do.
Dude, no. Like, I'm looking at it right now. That white jersey last night was sick.
No, the white jersey. So here's the deal. From a distance on the TV, the numbers look navy blue. Up close, the green numbers is a nice touch.
I think the green looks great.
Yeah, I do too. However, their alternates, I think this is, Jazz have maybe the two best alternates in the league. They're sick. The sunset ones or whatever they're called. And then the purple old school ones are awesome. And then their home ones,
the one you saw last night was the old school white one. It has the old school logo.
It's the things on the side that I don't think I like. There's too much fluff on it.
I just love the logo so with simple. The music.
The logo is cool.
The J, that is the sickest thing.
I agree. The logo is cool.
Nah.
The sunsets don't look good. Anything. The numbers are good. You're just talking about the trim on the sides of the jersey.
The sides, and then they have a bunch of trim on the neck and around the arm. I'm just not a fan.
Didn't you comment about how good the Thunder jersey looked last night?
No, that wasn't me. No. I didn't. I wasn't a fan. I've never been a fan of the Thunder jersey.
I actually thought that moving Thunder on the blue makes the blue one look a lot better.
Yeah.
Over Oklahoma City. Now the white one looks like crap, but the blue one looks better.
I wasn't a fan of the orange trim.
I kind of liked it.
I like the jerseys look better this year than they ever have.
I would agree with that.
I still am all up for a rebrand. Yeah. I wish the Thunder would take a cue from their own team and Sons of Thunder and rebrand, but we'll have to keep waiting and praying for that day to come.
I know last year it was like there were like rumors that they were going to do a new logo, and then Sam Presti was like, yeah, we have no plans to change. And I was like, dang, Sam, come on. Okay, so real quick, just off the cuff. Bearded Sam, I know.
You can change. Why can't
I? Know. Goodness
but
gracious.
God never changes, so.
Amen. Okay, real quick. Who has the worst jerseys in the league?
Worst jerseys in the league?
Are we counting
this wasn't
the patch
on the list, so now I've got to just...
Yeah, if it includes the patch, it's definitely us.
Logo-wise, the Thunder are the worst.
We
have specifically, the worst logo and the worst patch.
Yeah.
But the worst jersey...
We have great alternates, though. I like our alternate jerseys.
I'm not a big fan of the Mavs jerseys. They're like their normal, their current look. I don't like it. Also, not a big fan of the Grizz jerseys.
Really,
I like their
that's
new
not bad.
Newer jerseys are.
It's
all right.
Not bad. I just don't like it.
I'm not a big light blue and navy blue together. Eh.
Yeah. Anyway. Who else do I not like?
You heard it here first. TJ is listing things he doesn't like.
I just don't like this franchise as a whole. I don't like the Wizards. Like, it's a crummy mascot. It's a crummy jersey.
Well, they used to be the
Bullets.
It's
a crummy place to play basketball.
They're jerseys that just say, like, district or whatever.
Those things suck.
Oh, those are
that. That looks like a European basketball team's walking out. Like, oh, yeah, we're playing the district tonight. Yeah. Like, that's a minor league basketball. It's not a good look.
Yeah, I actually like them. Their jerseys before that were the worst. When Michael Jordan played for him.
What's the best jersey in the league?
I don't know, man. I'd have to think about it.
I love the Rip Cities.
Those are cool. Yeah.
I like those a lot.
I feel like we could do a whole pod.
I also really like the red Toronto jerseys. Those are cool.
Those are cool. All right. Well, be thinking about it. Best jerseys. We'll do that next week. All right. Question for you guys.
Okay.
This season is... I feel like it's going to be a season of fluctuation. People will get traded. We're going to fall in love with someone, and they're going to be shipped off to who knows where for like 8 second-round picks or something like that. So who is that first Thunderman? And yes, I said Thunderman. I'm trying to coin that. That is going to get dealt this year.
I'm going to go maybe a little outside the box.
Ooh.
So I think there are guys that are likely to get dealt and that may have a stronger return. I think the first person to get dealt could be Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens.
He is playing backup center behind Steve. Mm-hmm. We have Muscala and now Baisley, who we want to give minutes to. And it just feels like there's going to be a bit of a log jam.
And he's got a favorable
for that
contract.
Backup. He's got a favorable contract. It's only the 1 year.
It's really favorable.
I can't imagine him staying on beyond this year unless Steve was dealt, which I don't think will happen.
Hmm. Well, and not so, the way he's playing.
Well, it's a contract, I think, with Steve. That's the issue.
So and my guess
would be
play.
My guess would be Nerlens. I think he'll play well enough. I think there'll be a team, you know, take the Boston Celtics that realizes, man, we need someone that can defend in the post.
They got Ennis.
Yeah, they're going to realize they need someone to defend in the post. And so I think Nerlens could be a cheap option for them.
Yeah.
That's my prophecy.
I think that's a really good pick.
Thank you.
I think it's easy to say CP3 and Gallinari, but I think that those will be ones where Presti is waiting until the last second to get the best deal.
Yep.
So I could see Nerlens. I would love to see Roberson just get kicked off the team.
Oh, my.
The dude, I mean, just cut his leg off. If he can't play basketball at this point, he's never playing again.
You know, the interesting thing, though, is at media day, he was like, I'm good to go. I'm ready. And then we haven't seen him in a jersey.
Well, the trouble behind that is he's saying he's good to go, and they've seen him play, and they're like, well, he sucks. So we can't put him on the floor.
Here's my thing. I've heard a lot made of the fact that when asked about his health, he said, you know, I'm full go. What I heard him saying was not, I've been completely cleared, I'm 100%, but like, I'm fully going after getting back on the court as soon as possible. So I think there was something a little lost in translation from what he said. Because if you take that away, Everything Presti says, he's still on the same, like...
Did you notice we're working to get that the Oklahoma City Thunder Instagram account has posted more videos of him practicing? It's like they know that the fans are a little pissed off that this dude's getting paid $10 million a year and he's just sitting on the bench. They're trying to pump this out to make you think he's coming back. He's not coming back. They just need to cut him.
Okay, so
well, let me go with my real
Roberson.
Pick.
Okay, that's not your real pick.
Because I know that Presti's going to do it to me. Hamidou is going to get traded.
Interesting.
I don't want him to get traded. I think that Presti will approach this in two ways. If he can't get CP3 traded, then we're better off finishing the year with CP3.
Right.
Right? We're better off keeping him than giving him up for nothing. Right? So, would you trade Hamidou and then try and make a run? We're not making a run, right? But if we play competitive like we did last night, who knows?
Maybe. What do you get in return for a Hammy?
I don't know. Maybe you package him. You're probably not getting... You're not getting more than a second-round pick for Nerlens.
Well, I don't think you'd want a second-round pick for Nerlens. You probably want some kind of young player.
Yeah.
A second-round pick for Nerlens is...
You're getting somebody that's playing in the G League for Nerlens.
You're getting... I think you could get the equivalent for Nerlens of a Hamidou on another team.
Yeah.
Like a guy who was a second-round pick, but has shown some flashes of potential.
Yeah.
And you're saying, we'd rather bring that guy in and see if he has potential. And if we don't play him, we're not as worried about it.
Yeah.
Nerlens can go get a starting
cheaper
role.
Cheaper contract.
Larger role. Yeah.
I need everybody to fall in love with Roberson like you fell in love with Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Because if we love them, Presti will trade them. So fall in love with Roberson.
Maybe you need to fall in love with Roberson.
I'm falling in love with him.
You do.
I love him. He's the best basketball player in the league.
TJ is...
And the Warriors would love to have him in the loss of Klay Thompson.
Yes, because him and Klay are essentially the same player.
That's what I've been told.
One's better at offense, one's better at defense. I mean, I think it balances out.
Klay Thompson's really good at defense.
Oh, but he's not as good, so.
Oh, man. It's the same. They both had catastrophic knee injuries.
Who's your person?
Yeah, the first, I don't think anything happens until the trade deadline. I think we're going to be like, hear rumors that they're shopping someone or someone might go to the Thunder, and nothing's going to happen until Sam Presti's favorite time of year, 30 seconds before the trade deadline ends. And
you think that's when he's making all of his trades?
I would be surprised if he... I honestly... Maybe the week of or the month, like leading up
no,
to...
No, not the week.
I don't think he's going to
pull
the trigger
really
soon. He wants people's value to increase.
Yeah. How How many people do you think get traded this year?
I don't think as many as Thunder fans are wanting. I think Gallinari is for sure out of here, right?
So one.
Maybe Nerlens. I think it would behoove us, Nerlens, and then behoove. That's right. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a young player that gets attached to one of those to make it a more appealing deal. So Ferguson, Hami, someone like that. I doubt it's Ferguson, but maybe Burton even. Someone to just make the money work. So maybe three. Maybe three.
I'd say four.
That's a stretch.
Four minimum, I feel like.
Yeah.
I
felt like four.
You're going to have to package people on that CP3 trade.
Yeah, CP3's not getting traded this year. In my mind.
I think he's getting
traded. I bet he gets traded. Anyway, I don't think he's getting
traded. I think the Lakers are probably sitting fourth in the league. They need a point guard. Come trade deadline.
What do they have?
They're going to make it work.
No, contracts, they don't. They don't have money. It like literally can't happen. There's no
always a way.
They cannot make it happen.
Let's put this in team trade.
Sam Presti took Paul George, a player on the Thunder.
Oh my gosh, that's not okay.
And took a free agent from Toronto and used him as an asset for himself to get 6 picks.
Yes,
anything can happen with Presti as the GM.
What I'm saying is that he could sign. Kawhi was a free agent. There is no free agency right now.
The Clippers do not have Kawhi unless Paul George gets traded. What I'm saying is Presti can take. He took an asset that he did not have, and he made it his asset in his negotiation.
How in the world does that help with the Lakers getting CP3?
Because you're saying that the contracts can't work.
Right.
Because you're
That's
thinking,
exactly what I'm saying.
You're thinking of a one team deal. The guy can figure out a way
still a
to move
deal.
Players.
Still a one-team deal. Kawhi was a free
agent.
I'm
not saying that's not a... You're making it sound like, oh, well, TJ's saying it's a one-team deal, and that's what they're going to do with the Lakers. What I'm saying is Presti thinks outside of the box. He took an instance where he took an asset that he was not entitled to, made a crazy trade for it. He can make a trade with the Lakers. It doesn't have to be one-on-one. He could bring 3-4 teams in.
All right.
Can be done.
Let's see it. I'd love for Chris Paul to get out of here and it'd be good for us.
Let Chris go. We spent all that money with Russ and PG and couldn't get in the next round of the playoffs. What do I care if we spend all the money on Chris Paul and Kendrick?
Especially if CP3 is taking a backseat to Shea's playmaking and mentoring from the side. I'm good with it.
And he's not
disgruntled. Yeah.
And if he is, he's not letting anybody know.
Yeah.
He's great with the media. He's great with the fans. He seems like he wants to be here. And he's playing good basketball.
And
let him stay as long as he likes. I don't care.
I will say, too, as a lifelong Oklahoma City resident, native, there is something cool about the fact that Chris Paul was here during the Oklahoma City Hornets days and now is, like, coming full circle at the end of his career. I mean, I don't know. It's nostalgic for me. Like, I like him being here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
If we could get some assets for him, though. Deuces, CP. Deuces.
Amen.
So, we're going to start something this season called the Thunder Basketball 10 Commandments. And these are things that you should never do, or we should never do, or sometimes we should always do them, right? They're commandments. Mm-hmm. So, some will be yeses, some will be noes. But today I want to present one to you guys for discussion and for approval. Thou shall not play Nader. Thoughts? Agree, disagree?
Here's the thing. If we want to
Thou
lose,
shall play CP3 all the time. You can't. I'd love to do that, but you can't. So he's on the team. He's going to have to play in some regard.
He didn't play any last night.
Yeah. And we lost. What if he had played and we won?
That was about to be my response.
Yeah, actually. No, Nader's awful.
The only reason I'd want to play Nader is to lose, and we want to lose, so there's something inside of me that, like, I don't know.
Thou shalt sometimes play Nader in order for us to lose. Yes.
Well, Michael just wants to change it to thou shalt lose so we get a lottery pick. That's what he wants.
You know, The first, like, in the same way the Ten Commandments, it, like, begins with, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and then the other nine are, like...
No, I should have no other
working off of, basically, if you obey the first commandment, you'll obey the rest of them.
Right.
In some ways, I feel like this season, the Ten Commandments for this season would start with, thou shalt focus on the future. Like, focus on the rebuild, not on
thou shalt not get frustrated about the games
that yeah, because yeah. Then everything else is flowing from that. It's like, I'm trying to win a championship. We're not even trying, like, if we don't make the playoffs, that gives us a chance.
Well, we know that we're not trying to do those things, because right. We still have Billy Donovan coaching the team. So if the first commandment is, thou shalt focus on the future, then the second one is, fire Billy.
No, I was going to say, you have to look at, is Billy Donovan the right coach? Not of this last team, but of the team to come.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't take you very long to realize he's not.
So we've been podcasting for about 25 minutes, and TJ has called for Billy's resignation twice.
Not even his resignation is firing. Kick his butt out. I'm not asking him to give me a notice.
And make that three times. All right, so we're going to transition. I love that. First commandment. We'll get a more formalized version next week, and who knows? We might even add another commandment. Thunder prophecies, right?
Yeah.
These are bold takes, you could say, but things that you feel oddly optimistic or confident about are not. They're prophecies, whatever you want to call them. Okay, so I'll do these kind of rapid fire. I want to get your responses. How many games will we win? We're 0-1, 81 games left. Where are we landing?
The number in my head is 38.
God, that's what I was thinking. That's crazy.
So, I mean, we'll miss the playoffs. We'll be competitive, okay, kind of in that conversation for the 8th seed for much of the year. But I am assuming that one or both of Gallinari and Chris Paul is going to be traded before the trade deadline. And so, if they both stay on, we could get over 40, but I don't think that'll happen.
Okay.
If we keep Chris Paul, I think the number's 41. If we trade both Gallinari and CP3, then I'm going to go with 36.
Yeah, I don't. I feel not good about our record. I don't think we're scratching the playoffs. I don't think we're the worst team in the West, because the Suns still are a franchise. And they'll find a way to be just miserably bad. But yeah, I 36, 37. I mean.
No, your pick.
Yeah.
37.
So he split the difference between us.
There you go. You're
so
welcome.
If it's 36 or below, you win. And 38 or above, I win.
You have to hit it. Right on the number.
Well, good thing this means.
That's like the opposite of Price is Right strategy right there. $1, Bob.
He's just trying to show you how accurate he is. Yeah. It's a true prophecy.
No, you made me pick.
No one can argue that Landry was wrong.
Oh, if we get 37, I'm having a whole podcast on that prophecy. No doubt about it. Okay, most improved. No, excuse me. We'll start with this one. Team MVP this year. Who's walking away after 82 games with the guy we say he was the best player for our team this year? Not the future. It could be that, but the best player.
I mean, you watched last night. It'd be hard to argue against Shea. But I'm going to go with Steven Adams. I attacked him at the start of the pod. He crapped the bed last night. But he's going to rebound. And if he doesn't, then maybe he'll be a great tradable asset that will give us an MVP. So he will be the most valuable player.
I don't know if he's a great tradable asset, but he might be.
I was going to go with Steven Adams, but now I don't want to because I want to be different. I'm going to go with Chris Paul because, not because he's the best player or because, like, we're excited, he may be traded halfway through, but I think in a similar way that the stars we used to have would talk about some of the veterans that were around when they were young and the way that they, like, impacted the way they see the game, the way they approach the work ethic and stuff. I think the long-term ramifications of a guy like Chris Paul being in on this team will not only change the way that guys approach the game this year, but going forward, I think it'll have an impact.
Yeah, I agree. I want to say CP3, but I think Shea. I mean, he played really well and really confidently last night. I know it's one game, but that's all we have to look at. And so I think we're going to look back, and even though he is the future of the team, I think he's going to be...
Totally.
It looked effortless to him last night.
And by the way,
except the fourth quarter.
If I was picking MVP of the team the way that I pick MVP of the league, which I think is how you're looking at it,
yeah,
Shea's the obvious choice.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So,
it's like Giannis last year, maybe not the best player in the league, but
yeah,
you look at him and you're like, this guy's the future of the league.
Well, and you're talking about like who's the top, who are, you know, you got to be a top 10 scorer, so mm-hmm. Shea's going to probably be the top scorer. You've got to impact your team's winning percentage. Shea will do some of that. I do think Steve will have a great...
Yeah.
Like,
and I think Chris Paul, too.
Yeah.
If Chris Paul's attitude stays good, I think, long term. Who's the guy who coached it? He might still coach at UConn. Kevin Ollie, right? Like, the mm-hmm. first year, yeah. Kevin Ollie was terrible. But Russ and KD... Snake. Had to throw that in there. Loved Kevin Ollie. Like,
yeah.
He was, like, their mentor. So... I agree. And Nick Collison, Mr. Thunder himself. Okay, so we answered this question already, but we making the playoffs, guys?
No.
No. No. Not a chance, as much as it hurts me to say.
Well, most improved.
Oh, I missed one. Sorry. Okay, most improved Thunderman.
I'm going, especially after last night, with Hami.
Hami.
I mean, he went from fringe bench player to, like, you know... He was just active on the defensive end. He was making the thing I've worried about is will he be able to score to keep in the game? And he was scoring left and right yeah. with hustle points and putbacks. He's got the type of just like energy and aggressiveness and just making things happen out there that I think he's going to be able to stay on the court. And I think we're going to be impressed. I realize yeah. typically it's not someone that's in their second year because you expect that jump. Because
right.
you could say Shea, I guess. Shea would be
yeah, but he did go with us last year, you know.
But I expected Shea to be great. I didn't yeah. know if Hami would be in the rotation at all.
Man, all his points last night were just effort plays.
Yep.
I mean, he had a couple drives that were pretty good. I mean, he flails around like Jeremy Grant used to do. Like, they don't know, they lose body control once they jump. But man, he had like a couple offensive rebounds where...
That's how you get fouled.
What?
Flail around.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hope That's someone true. Hits something and then you get free throws.
That's right. That's how you play. And if it's pickup, you just call foul as you shoot.
I definitely think that Hammy's probably the best choice for most improved player. But I can't choose that one because you chose it. So I'm going to go with Turd Ferguson, who seems like the nice. Only other option.
He did not play for? Much improved.
He probably didn't play great.
Probably because he said Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, well, I do expect... Like his shooting to improve this year, and hopefully his defense. I think that he will be a standard player. And if he's not, if he does not show us this year that he can be a consistent starter, then I think you can count him in as the lumped in tradable assets before the deadline.
Yeah, yeah. My ideal person would be Dennis Schroeder, but he looked pretty bad last night. But I think...
That dude just can't play.
I think Hami's the easy choice, right? I agree. Yeah.
Well, he has the biggest ceiling.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure.
And the highest... And Turd has played two seasons right. now. So we kind of have... We saw him progress a little bit last year. Maybe his ceiling is just... There's not as much space there. There's a large space for Hami, it feels like.
Yeah. And if... This guy doesn't apply because he's a rookie, but basically, I thought... He played a lot of minutes last night.
He played much better than expected.
He took the yeah. most classic rookie three-pointer. He was wide open. The shot clock was running out, and he just shot it. And he missed the rim by 2 feet. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Nerves, yeah.
But he looked okay. Like,
$100. Jim Traber in 20 minutes is going to say, they're letting Baisley shoot threes.
Yeah.
$100.
Apparently, we're not allowed to shoot threes if you are a broadcaster in Oklahoma. So... only twos are wide open threes from people who shoot 60%, which is no one. Okay, so because we're rebranding, because we have this new persona, you know, one of the things we want to end on is confession, because it's a part of Christian life. And so sometimes we're going to confess things we were wrong. Sometimes we're going to take someone's hand and walk them down to the altar. And today we're walking down to the altar. Michael, why don't you set this up?
Yeah, so Kevin Snyder, friend of mine, listener of the pod.
We're walking him to the altar.
He asked me a question. He's a Spurs fan and said, he kind of made the assumption, aren't Oklahoma City Thunder fans just as mad at Paul George as they are at Kevin Durant because he did something similar. He said he was going to be there. He even signed and then requested a trade. So I'll pose that to you guys. Are we, should we be as mad at Paul George as we are at Kevin Durant?
I think, personally, I am. I am just as mad at Paul George as I am Kevin
TJ,
Durant.
TJ, not one to hold bitterness against
But
people.
There is, I will say that his hurts a little less because we got assets back.
Yes.
The reason that I'm mad at Paul George is because we lost Russell. I love Paul George when he signed last summer, because when he signed last summer, that was confirming, like, Russell was going to be here long term. Paul George is going to be here long term. We've got two. We need to find a third piece and some young players, and we can really make a run at a championship in the next 3 to 4 years. Right?
Right.
Paul George says he wants out, so then we lose Russell. That one stings, because I love Russell. My favorite player in basketball, right? So I'm mad at Paul George because we lost Russell. It's somewhat okay because we got a lot of great assets in return. And so that's the difference. Paul George at least gave us a heads up. He was a tradable asset. Kevin Durant just left. We didn't get anything in return for Kevin Durant. Mm. The other difference is Paul George didn't light us up in the media. And I feel like every time Kevin Durant gets in front of a mic, he uses it as a way to either bash Oklahoma City, talk about poor management, or trash players that are on the team. Paul George isn't going to do that. He doesn't seem like that guy. But I am still mad at Paul George just because of what happened to the team. When Paul George left, we literally are hitting the reset button, right? When Kevin Durant left, we were committing to Russ, hey, we're going to make this work, and we're going to put money into this team to win a championship. We go get Paul George, and we give up two tradable assets to make that happen. We gave up Sabonis, and what's his name?
Oladipo,
right? Those dudes are great. Sabonis is going
to
be...
Really, we gave up Serge Ibaka to get those. I mean, Serge Ibaka for
That's
Paul
fair.
George.
And, I mean, when you lay it all out, for sure. But we could have had Sabonis and Oladipo instead of Paul George. We'd probably still have them on the team. So that one hurts a little bit, too. We gave up a great player that we had drafted. Mm-hmm. We got another great athlete to pair with Russ. We gave them up to get Paul George. He played with us for two seasons, thought we were going to sign long-term. He ups and leaves, and not only do we lose him, we lose Russ. I'm definitely still mad at Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't excited that Paul George left. Like, Kevin Durant and Paul George have ruined two vacations for me in Colorado, which is my favorite place in the world. Kevin Durant's was worse because I checked my phone one time, and all I got was a text message from Luke McConnell that said, he's dead to me. And that's all I needed to know. So I turned my phone back off. Paul George, I woke up at 2:30 and looked at it, rolled my eyes, and went back to sleep. It was terrible. However, Paul George did not leave us high and dry. In fact, he did us a favor. So as much as it stinks that he left, he told Presti and gave him like 48 hours to make a deal so Presti could do what you were talking about earlier, TJ, where he used Kawhi to get a better offer. And we got, I mean, we got the mother load, like one of the biggest trades in basketball history, and best probably potentially for us, because if the Clippers, so let's say Paul George and Kawhi are good for 2 years and then they bounce or they start declining, which they may not, but we have all these future picks. So if the Clippers stink, we get even better and we're going to get better. So I'm grateful to Paul George that he went and did that. And also, there were like rumblings that him and Russ were going to give it another go and then bounce after this year anyway because their contracts were going to expire.
Yeah.
So it's not, all we did was just kick things up a step, and then we got a lot of assets in return. Even from Houston, we got a lot of assets in return.
Yeah.
But I do, I mean, it still stings. But Kevin was like, oh yeah, I love Oklahoma City. I'm going to stay here forever. They're my best friends. I love Russell. He's a real MVP. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, but... I'm going to sign with a team that just beat us and then spend the rest of my career trying to justify why I left the Thunder to go to Golden State.
And
he's still doing that.
And he left when Thunder was at its peak of greatness.
Yes.
Well, that
at
was
starting its peak. I mean, it wasn't even like we were declining. It was like we were, it's there.
Yeah. You guys are taking all the points. So let me just add on. Yes, that was what I was going to say.
We did it on purpose.
Was the reason I am not as angry at Paul George. Number one is because it just wasn't working out. Like, we had 2 years of a run with, just on paper, if you said Russell Westbrook and Paul George, same team, you'll have other players around them that are, you know, of good skill. How far do we go? I would say at least second round, maybe the West Finals, as long as the Warriors are together. And the fact that we never got out, not only did we not get out of the first round, we got beat 4-2, 4-1. Yeah. Like, that makes it where it's like, for whatever reason, something wasn't working.
Yeah, and playoff Paul never showed up.
Yeah.
We forget about
playoff
that
Playoff P.
Yeah. Well, I need to clarify, it was Paul, because playoff P sucks.
So, that's the first reason I'm not. The second reason is because of what you mentioned, the assets piece, right? That ultimately, when we traded for Paul George, we knew it was a one-year risk anyway. So the fact that he resigned was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, a year later, when it doesn't work out and he's traded, it's like, well, he could have left last summer mm-hmm. and we would have had nothing in return. Because he resigned and now is traded, we're getting all these assets in return. We're able to move Russ somewhere else and get assets back for him. I mean, this is if a year ago Kawhi Leonard had called Paul George and said, let's team up with the Clippers, we're left with basically nothing.
Right.
Because Paul George resigned and then said, mm-hmm. trade me here, we are set up to have more draft picks for a rebuild than any team ever in NBA history.
Yeah, even, well, more than the Celtics got from, wow. I guess we got 8 total draft picks. Some are pick swaps and stuff, but pretty wild.
I am thankful you brought up a good point that it wasn't working. I do feel like because of, like, this is where I go back and forth. I love Russ, my favorite basketball player in the NBA. I love the guy. But he definitely had that personality where it felt like we were doing everything we could to make him happy.
For sure.
And now that he's gone, there's no pressure to make anybody happy. Yeah. Nobody cares if Steven Adams is upset, right? He's our big paid star now. He's terrible. Nobody cares if he's upset because we're not worried about keeping a league all-star on the roster. We're not held hostage by that.
Yeah.
So it is. I do feel like it's given us more flexibility. And I do have to give credit to Paul George. While none of us wanted it to happen, he was willing to be the turd, be the scapegoat to go to the Clippers to help it all blow up.
Yep.
Yeah. And I do feel like it was a great exit for Russ to where he could leave without winning us a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we're not mad at Russ for him being gone.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody in Oklahoma City's mad at Russ for going to the Rockets.
Right.
Because we traded him.
Yep.
Yeah. And because Paul George was the reason why we traded him. So it worked out in the end. I still hate Paul George for doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think we have 3 games or 4 games next week. Maybe 5, I don't remember. From this point,
we have 3 through the weekend, right?
3 through the weekend. So 5 next time we pod.
Well, Monday is the Rockets.
So we'll have quite a few games, and we'll really understand.
Wizards Friday.
Warriors at Houston, Blazers.
So 5 games between now and 4 games between now and the next time we pod.
Friday is a must win, in my opinion.
You heard it here first. Wizards. Friday is a must win. We do need to get a win between now and then, but we really know who we are as a team.
In all honesty, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off.
No, you're good.
Trying to do your exit. If we lose on Friday, then Billy Donovan has got to go.
Oh, my God.
He's got to go if we lose on Friday.
Over game 2.
hold on, though.
Of a season
the Wizards
that we just
roster
said doesn't
is
matter.
Awful. They are so bad. They have our former coach.
What?
And they're playing in our house on Friday. We better not lose that game.
What is the first commandment? Of Thunder Valley. You look towards the future.
You have to have
it
some standards. We cannot lose on Friday. Oh, it'll be embarrassing. Nobody will go watch them play the rest of the year. They will be moving this team back to Seattle.
Thanks for listening to Sons of Thunder. It's been a great pod. We're excited about what is to come. And hopefully our pod grows as this team grows. And we'll fire TJ if Billy gets fired.
Fair. I would gladly quit the pod if Billy Donovan gets fired.
We're just kidding, TJ.
We'll work on a new handle, but currently if you have tweet-ins for next week, it's at ThunderDion.
That's right. We'll take some tweet-ins next week over the pod. So hope you guys have a great day, and as always, Thunder up! We'll be right back.